This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Okay, I'm Ian. I'm at the Light Fantastic exhibition where we're running some outreach activities from Jodrell Bank. Also here as part of that festival is Richard Lake from Polestar Planetariums, who's going to talk to us a bit now. So, hi, Richard.
Hi.
So you're running this planetarium exhibition. So how long have you been running planetariums?
I've been at it now for 9 or 10 years, coming up 10 years. Prior to that, I was a primary teacher. I've always had an interest in astronomy. Combining the two and taking the thing predominantly around schools is what I do on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, so what kind of thing do you focus on with your planetarium outreach? Do you focus on more nearby things or more cosmological things, or do you try and give it a mixture?
Well, in Britain, we're very well catered for in terms of the material that we can show inside these planetariums. The technology is called Full Dome. It's essentially immersive hemispherical video that we can show inside. And the thing that we're very well catered for is that bodies such as STFT and others, they fund predominantly the National Space Centre film unit to make some gorgeous stuff for us. A lot of it is concerned with planetary bodies, but it's thematic as much as anything else as well. For instance, the search for extraterrestrial life, or the use of light and different frequencies for different aspects of looking out into space. So really, it's a mixture of the near and the far. The conclusion of every show always finishes with a traditional planetarium tour of the night sky, because otherwise you simply don't feel that you're a planetarian if you don't. And people really do enjoy that still.
And think of several astronomers at Jodrell Bank who probably could do with such a tour. So you say you've been doing this for 9 years. Do you think there's been much of an evolution in the kind of audiences you've seen or the level of knowledge? Because there's a lot of talk about the Brian Cox effect and the effect he's had on people's interest in physics. Is that something you think you've experienced?
Yeah, most certainly. Yeah. I mean, certainly there is the BBC programmes and the exposure of the good professor has been really good for business, I have to say. And you can see the effect of that. But also what children know and what they already bring with them, often really quite young children, key stage two, it's really quite knowledgeable. You can tell that they've been sitting and watching Discovery Channel, quite frankly. That's what they've been doing. I sometimes think that children can only take as much sort of animation, or so much up to a certain point, before they actually want to sit and watch something factual and bring themselves to learning, you know. And I have to say that the Discovery Channels, and you can tell from some of the things that have been said that it's specifically those that they've been looking at, that they're absorbing it. And frankly, that and dinosaurs, and they're pretty wrapped on the both, you know.
So do you have a particular favourite aspect of the show which you really enjoy telling people, because it's your kind of, it has a personal excitement for you?
I think possibly the night sky at the end, the tour of the night sky, simply because it is something which is accessible to everybody. It's even more accessible with the advent of smartphones and tablets, which can give you those tours of the sky as well, like a window into the constellations. It's also something that's not commonly covered on the programs we've just been talking about. You know, a child with an inquiring mind will know lots about planets and stars, and they will often ask about exotic objects such as black holes and neutron stars. But the bits that tend not to be covered are the constellations and the tour of the night sky and that kind of thing. I always make a point of never turning up and just throwing films on. You know, it's always a coherent presentation with me presenting with film clips and images in between, and then the tour of the night sky. But it's always nice to finish with that tour, mm-hmm. because it is the bit that people tend to know less about, mm-hmm. and tend to really enjoy.
So what kind of variety of audiences do you tend to work with? So do you have interaction with any kind of academic astronomy as well? Or is it usually just the public which you get to go and do these things for?
Typically schools. I spend 95% of my time in schools. A nursery, where they just simply want the children to sit on the floor and experience the beauty of the night sky moving over the head, up to, key stage four. You know, again, there's some fairly advanced stuff we have made for us that we can put on that can be pitched at that level very, 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 very well. Tend not to get up around astrophysics in degree level, largely because they know damn sight more about it than I do. But as you've pointed out yourself, I can find my way around the night sky a bit better than most of them as well. So I have to say, when I do run into astrophysicists, they're always very generous as well. So they're a very pleasant bunch generally.
Thank you. I'll try and keep that up. So do you have a favorite particularly memorable question you've ever been asked as part of your shows that you could or could not answer, I guess?
there's always the how many stars are there, and the figure that I give them is one that I last heard by a bunch of Australian astronomers, but I'm sure that one is possibly out of date now, and I ought to go away and look that one back up again. My favorite question is always, what happens if you fall into a black hole? Discuss all the possibilities of that, and it's always a good giggle to finish with the word spaghettification. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yes, they come with some, armed with some very, very difficult questions. I mean, also really quite simplistic, but quite searching ones. The other day, you know, why is space black? And again, these are questions people don't think about. Mm-hmm. And the answer to it is not a terribly complicated answer, but again, it's things that people don't think about. And you do get the odd very, very thoughtful child, you know. Yeah. It's not nice.
So I guess what you're talking about there is Olber's paradox, as we would call it?
The simplistic answer that I give to children is that there's nothing to reflect anything back. It's as simple as that, you know. What they see around them every day is light bouncing back into their eyes. Mm-hmm. And that if there's nothing there to reflect light, then the light won't be bounced back at them. It's as simple as that.
I think it's a very nice skill to be able to join the very complicated things such as that with the simple explanations as that. I think it's a very impressive skill that hopefully we're working on with our outreach as well.
Sometimes it's a good idea to be a teacher coming towards astronomy rather than it is to be perhaps an expert astronomer coming towards teaching. You're far nearer the teaching aspects than you are the advanced aspects of astronomy. You know, as I say, there are those who know far more about astronomy than I do, but I'm able to, I have enough knowledge to cover what's typically asked, you know, the experience as a teacher to be able to translate it into the understandable.
So it's getting towards your next showtime now. So yeah. I'm sorry you weren't able to rest your voice during this period, but I'll let you go and say thank you very much. So thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks very much.